You joined me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, show number 61. I'm Neil O'Carroll. I'm your host. You're the listener. Now, I don't know who you are. I can name who some of you are, but the rest of you I don't know. My web statistics aren't that sophisticated that they can tell me who you are. But frankly, that's fine. I'll just aim this material at an average person. I'll assume that there's all sorts of people listening from age 2 to 140, and so I'll aim this at sort of halfway in between, which would be, 140 minus 2 is 138, and divide that by 2. Which is 69. Okay, so I'm aiming this podcast as 69-year-old. So I suppose I should find some appropriate music for a 69-year-old to listen to. Hold on a minute. I'll just pause this for a moment and find some appropriate music to start the podcast off for you 69-year-olds out there. Bear with me a moment.
Into Your Head by Neil O'Carroll and Joanne Farrell.
O'Carroll. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Neil, that's a load of crap. That's modern-day pop music. It's guitars and drums and all sorts of fancy punk-driven rock star crap. Well, I can tell you it's not. That tune is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, done to a guitar. It's one of the oldest nursery rhymes and nursery songs known to man. It's almost 3,000 years old. It's been around longer than Jesus, I can tell you that. It's been around longer than, in fact, any of the other sons of gods that any of you may worship, such as Buddha's son, whatever his name was, and what's that other guy's son? The earman thing. All the sons of gods. In fact, some of the gods themselves aren't old enough to remember when this song came out and when it was first a hit. Because there was no way of recording it at the time. That was recorded quite recently. It was up until now. It was only available on papyrus in written form. The way you write down music with quavers and semi-quavers, and you put six bars going across, and you put all these dots, and then you put slanty lines between some of the dots. I know all about this stuff. I studied music in school. I did music to intermediate certificate level. I got a C in honours music, higher level music, and it's absolutely fantastic. Only two of us in the class got a C. Everyone else got a D. So I was above average. Above average in my achievements in the music exam. I wasn't above average in any other thing in that class. I was average age, I was average looks, average size. I was average everything else, but I was above average in my result at the end of the year. But of course, that didn't affect my year, because you don't get the results until the end of the school year, and during the school year, you're just a normal person. You don't have your results yet. Nobody yet knows how brilliant you're going to be. You may well already be brilliant, but it's not down on paper until the summer when you get your exam and get your results. But I know now in hindsight that I was one of the above average people in that class. The other guy who was above average, there was one other guy, he got a C in music as well. If I remember rightly, his name was Ian, and he had an average haircut compared to mine. I had an excellent haircut. If I remember rightly, that year in school, I got my, around the beginning of that year, I got my hair combed back, and it looked like, in hindsight, it looked like Cliff Richard, but at the time I stood out in a good way, as far as I'm concerned. So that helped me through until I got it down on paper that I was above average. So I was able to use my haircut to keep myself a cut above everyone during the year. And then when I got my exam results, I was able to go back to my old straight-haired pudding bowl haircut, because I didn't need it anymore. I had the qualification now, and I could proceed on. So then I went on to leaving certificate stage and made a right wild fuck up of that, but that doesn't matter. My music C in Honor's music still applies, and as far as I'm concerned, because I'm very proud of it. In fact, I'm just to demonstrate it, I'll pick out some more music now for you to listen to, and this will demonstrate my excellent taste in music. Here goes. Now this piece probably needs some explanation. For those of you who didn't get a C in higher level music in your intermediate certificate in 1991, this is a recording of me humming. I made it a couple of years ago, long before I ever even had a podcast or an online radio show. I never knew this was going to be broadcast on the internet airwaves. I was just recording this for my own entertainment. I wasn't looking for any credit for it. It just used to give me joy just to create music. This is a cappella music, of course, because I don't play any instruments properly. I do play guitar on the show sometimes when I'm doing a cat song, but I don't believe that I'm good enough to accompany myself on guitar when I'm singing, because it requires a certain amount of standard and skill to accompany yourself on the guitar. Otherwise, you just make yourself look bad. A bad workman blames his tools, and a bad singer blames his accompaniment. And I don't want to be blamed for destroying my own songs. So that's why I don't accompany myself on the guitar when I'm doing something like that. But I will now. Seeing as how I mentioned the guitar, I might as well do a little song here. Here we go. Oh, this is a song, something ting. This is a song, something ting. This is a song, something ting. It does have a familiar ring. This is a song, tingy yuck. This is a song, tingy yuck. This is a song, tingy yuck. It is done in the style of folk. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, that's not a folk song at all. That's complete crap. Well, I'm sorry. You're not an expert. I'm the music student here. You know nothing about these things. With all due respect, I studied music. I studied. One day the music teacher was out sick, and we had a stand-in music teacher, and he came in with his guitar, and he taught us... he taught us Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, if I remember rightly. And he taught us some Paul McCartney song. He played it on his guitar. Just he brought in his guitar. You could tell the poor man was a student teacher. He was dying to show off his guitar skills and be a cool teacher. As it turned out, he was a complete moron. But I remember that day with fondness. Because we didn't get any homework that night. Because Rasher, the main music teacher, was away. And he was probably sick from eating an apple too fast, because I seem to remember one day he was also a sports teacher, and he went out running around and ate an apple while he was running and became all red-faced and out of breath, and it looked like he was rather uncomfortable. He looked like the apple was sitting rather uncomfortably in his esophagus. And we all advised him, Rasher, I mean, sir, you're not supposed to eat an apple while walking. It's bad for you, especially if you cram it down your mouth the way you're doing. Well, you're not really doing it, but I'm saying it in the story to make it sound better. I'm exaggerating. I'm telling your story as if it's a cartoon. And I should probably add in a bit about a dog going past chasing a cat, and the cat's chasing a mouse, because that'll make it sound like a proper traditional cartoon. Well, cartoons are supposed to have mice and cats and a big scary looking bulldog in them. And you're supposed to, most of the cartoons are supposed to be concentrated on the mouse chasing the mouse being chased by the cat and making the cat look stupid by avoiding him. And then at some point the dog comes in, and it's the irony of the whole thing. The cat has been the pursuer up till now, and then this big scary dog comes along and pursues the cat, and all of a sudden the cat just looks like a scared little mouse because the dog is chasing him. Now, of course, the modern-day children don't go for that sort of thing. In the modern-day thing, another cat has to come along who's a transformer, and he has to transform into some sort of people carrier or a spaceship or something. Otherwise, the kids just aren't happy. They're not entertained at all by cats and dogs nowadays. You have to have even real cats and dogs don't entertain them. You have to have a virtual pet. They want a virtual pet that's up on their computer or on their pocket Game Boy system, and the thing has to die if they forget to virtually feed it every day, and they don't get any satisfaction unless there's a risk of the virtual pet dying. That's all that entertains our kids now, death. And even the Willy Wonka story had near deaths in it. It had people getting stuck in chocolate vats, if I remember rightly, and getting sucked up into great glass things with a suction or something. I can't remember the details, but and even that was back in the 60s that originally came out, and even by then the children are becoming bored with cats and dogs and cartoons, and they wanted to think that people could die from eating too much sweets, and they wanted to watch it for entertainment. Of course, you can't kill off the nice characters. You can't kill off Charlie, even though he's a fucking idiot. He's a moron. He goes around, his family is stuck in a rut, and they're on their last legs. They've no money left, and he goes and spends his money on a chocolate bar, and he just happens to get lucky. He wins a golden ticket for it, and ends up winning other stuff. But if you had any sense, that child would have gone out and got a job in the poorhouses. Because this film is set back in the 1800s when they had poorhouses. He could have gone to the poorhouse and brought home a living wage. Or even nowadays, if it were set in modern times, he could have gone and worked in a running shoe factory. Admittedly, he would have had to go abroad somewhere where they use children to make running shoes. But according to the makers, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory isn't set in any particular country. Some suspect it's Germany. Some say it's England. But it's not. It's not set anywhere. It's set in Cloud Cuckoo Land, if you ask me. And Cloud Cuckoo Land isn't the proper land at all. Well, it's up in the clouds, so you can tell from that it doesn't exist. If I tell you that a land is up in the cloud, and you believe me and you think it's a little land up in the cloud, then that shows that you're living in Cloud Cuckoo Land yourself. And I've probably confused you now with that statement. You're probably completely confused. You think, am I living up in the cloud now? I'm living in Cloud Cuckoo Land. Does that mean I'm in Lapland, or does that mean I'm halfway up the sky, or am I going to get run over by an aeroplane when it accidentally lands in my back garden because I'm on a cloud? Well, if you think like that, you probably are. Now, I've just been on Twitter, the social interaction website. It's a site where you go to socially interact without having to actually socially interact. You don't actually have to see people if you don't want to. You can just find some imaginary people on the internet and talk to them. They're not actually imaginary people, but they're real people, but you don't actually have to meet the imaginary people. You can just meet their text and see what comes out of the text writing part of their brain. You don't have to meet the rest of their brain at all, because some people, you know, the best part of their brain is the part that does the text writing. They're probably, half of them are probably complete psychos. There's probably at least 3 axe murderers on my Twitter list, but I don't have to meet the axe murdering part of them. You can't murder, you can't axe murder someone by text. You can arrange to meet up with them by text and then axe murder them, but someone can't axe murder you by text. They can't come along and post a Twitter text message that says, I'm now axe murdering you. Well, they can post that, but you won't actually end up dead. You'll come to no harm whatsoever. You might have a nightmare or two, but you can just block them then if that happens. And so I feel perfectly safe using Twitter. It's one of the safest social networking sites I've ever come across. So now I'm just seeing, I've just refreshed my Twitter page, and Dadaist says, you play that Twinkle song one more time and I'm going to put this paperclip in the bin. I mean it. Well, that's fine. I'll play it again. I just posted that. I wondered how many more times I would get away with playing Twinkle Twinkle on my guitar. So here goes. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, this is complete crap. You're just repeating the same song over and over, making up excuses for filling up extra minutes of the show. And you're doing very little talking in this episode. In fact, you tagged on 50 minutes of music to the previous one. So you would think that you'd come back with this one and just have less music to make up for it. Well, you certainly would think that, but that's not what happened. You can't always predict what's going to happen, and you predicted it wrong. You thought I was going to come back and just have no music this time and just fill up the whole thing with me talking. Well, I'm not going to do that. That would be predictable. I don't want to be predictable. This has to be unpredictable. So whatever you're predicting I'll do next, I'm not going to do. But you're probably predicting that I'll play Twinkle Twinkle Little My Guitar never again. You're probably thinking I've decided it's enough is enough. I don't want to be too predictable, so I won't play it again. Well, that's exactly what I want you to think. I want to be unpredictable. That's basically what I'm saying. So you probably think that I'm not going to play it again, and you're probably right about that. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Neil, you're a fucking bastard. You've played that 3 times now, and you're doing it just to aggravate me. You're hoping that I'll disprove your axe-murdering theory. Well, you can go ahead. It's already being disproved, because I've just gone on Twitter, and I've looked, and Dadaist has said, say goodbye, Mr. Paperclip. This is all the fault of the guitar dude. Now, I don't know whether that means he's murdering the paperclip and blaming the guitar dude, or he's blaming me. Either way, he's murdering a paperclip. So technically, that's not axe murdering. You can't murder a paperclip with an axe, not least because it's not alive, but also because if you bring an axe down on a paperclip, the paperclip is just going to sink into the ground and come out virtually unharmed. The only way you could murder a paperclip in any credible way with an axe is if it's a magnetic axe and it somehow attracts the paperclip, and then you think you've murdered the paperclip, you fling the axe over your shoulder in frustration, thinking of all the years of prison that you're going to serve, and then the paperclip gets lost somehow by getting flung with the axe, or else the axe lands with such force with the paperclip magnetically attached to it, and then it somehow bends the paperclip very much, so it comes to the state of being unrepairable. But that just means you're a lunatic, and if you're a lunatic, you are probably going to be an axe murderer at some point, but not at that point. You haven't murdered the paperclip. You're deluded. You're completely deluded. So Dadaist, you are deluded if you think you've murdered that paperclip. That's all I have to say to that. You're deluded. Oh, now he's after posting a last photo of the paperclip. So let's have a look at this. Yeah, Dadaist has posted a final photo ever of this paperclip. Well, it certainly is a nice photo. Now, hold on. That's an extra strong reinforced paperclip. That's not a normal paperclip. That's a strong paperclip. And I see beside it on his desk he's got some sort of Star Wars figure. So basically he's a lunatic. He's in Scotland, and that explains a lot. And he's posting pictures of paperclips on the internet. You're going to get caught if you do that. People are going to... You've gone on the internet and you've admitted in advance to committing a murder. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. You'll probably get the flu as well, because you'll be pulled over by the cops tomorrow at some point, and they'll drag you down. They'll be afraid of you because they'll have heard you're a lunatic, and they'll drag you down into a puddle. They will not intentionally, there'll just happen to be a puddle there, or the whole ground will get wet because it's Scotland, and Scotland is always wet. All of these Gaelic countries are always wet. I'm in a Gaelic country. I'm in Ireland, and it's always wet. Right at this moment, there's probably some place that's wet around my house. I haven't checked, but there's probably, for a start, we've got a kitten who's peeing all over the place, so there's probably a puddle of piss right behind me. I haven't looked around, but if I look around, I'll probably see a puddle of piss And I'm glad I'm not being arrested in this room, because I get dragged. There's a good chance that I'll be dragged down into a puddle of kitten piss, and of course that'll be the least of my problems if that happens. But I don't want to be. I don't want to land in kitten piss. And Dadaist, you should take that on board too. There's more to life than getting thrown into a puddle of cat piss just to make a point about a paperclip. So let that be a lesson to you. I don't mean to go on and on about this paperclip incident. I mean, it's not a real murder, and I'm just giving more credit than is deserved to this lunatic in Scotland if I go on about it. But this conversation on Twitter has been continuing, and first we had a great escapist, this guy in the west coast of America or somewhere, saying oppressing the paperclip in today's world must be stopped. Free the clip, free the clip. And I'm inclined to agree with Grey Escapist, because he's a very sensible Twitter picture. He has a photograph of himself looking very serious in a beard, looking trustworthy and contemplative. Dadaist, on the other hand, has just today changed his picture to include a picture of Mickey Mouse. So who are we going to believe first? And Dadaist is after replying, the clip is dead as a dodo, it's too late for the clip. You expect me to fish it out with a magnet? Well, I think we've already sorted that out in advance with all my stuff about murdering a paperclip with a magnet. So, Dadaist, I'm on to you, and I'm well aware that I keep mispronouncing your name as Dadaist, but if you're going to go around threatening paperclips with magnets, hold on a minute. He's threatening to fish out the clip with a magnet. That means he hasn't murdered the magnet at all. He's just put it in his waste paper basket, and he's able to get it back by fishing it out with a magnet. Well, if you murder someone, you're not going to fix it with a magnet, unless you're in the Terminator movie or the TV series, and you've just murdered a Terminator, but you're able to reactivate it by using a magnet, putting the magnet up against its head and reactivating it. Well, you can't go around applying the rules from the Terminator series of movies into real life. Much as I love the Terminator series, you can't go around saying, I've just murdered a guy or a paperclip and I can fix it with a magnet. It doesn't matter whether it's a paper or a magnet, it's the same rules applied to both. That's what Dadaist would have you believe anyway, because he's a complete fucking lunatic. So I think at that note we'll forget about him for now, because he's well, let's just say I'm going to call 999, and we'll sort this out. Now, at this point, we seem to have degenerated into a paperclip murdering special, when you can't even murder a paperclip. So I don't think this episode is going to go any further, so if you don't mind, what I'm going to do is stop recording. I'll probably have to go to the police about this guy in Scotland, and just to cover my ass, I'll have to go to the police and say this guy on the internet told me he's going to commit murder. So what I'm going to do is leave you with some vintage Into Your Head. This is from a very old episode that's no longer online. I don't want you to worry there. The reason why it's no longer online is nothing to do with the quality. It's nothing to do with the fact it's a very old episode from the early 1970s, when I haven't quite got the hang of this. It's an absolutely fantastic vintage episode of Into Your Head, and I'm going to leave you with this. So we'll be back in a few days with a new one. So if you all excuse me, I have to go down to the cop shop and sort out this guy. I hope I pronounce his name right, otherwise I'll sound like a fucking idiot. And it's been another exciting week here in Thigh Town in Central Ireland. So exciting that, in fact, I don't know where to begin. I could start with the death of the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, although technically that's not a local news story. I believe he is from Australia, and he died while bravely wrestling a fish. And the whole world is talking about it, every podcast, every radio show, so I don't see why I shouldn't. I've great pity for the man and his family, God bless them, but You know, if you go around fighting with fish, you have to if you're going to take risks like that and tackling a little fish in the sea, you don't have to expect to be attacked one day. Every fisherman knows that they dice with their lives every day. Every time you catch an eel, you know, there's a danger it might slide up your ass and into your digestive system. And I tell you, the digestive biscuits won't help there. That leads me to wonder why are they called digestive biscuits? I mean, it's not like you buy them to aid your digestion. You buy them to aid your hunger tackling system. Your immune system of the food world, I suppose, if you will. And we're actually, you probably don't realise, we're the only species in the world known to eat digestive biscuits. Fish certainly don't. They eat people, as we found out this week. And cats don't. Cats don't even eat dog biscuits. There isn't a cat equivalent of the dog biscuit. Although interestingly, my dog Chico ate some cat food last night that was lying on the sitting room floor. I'm not sure where I stand morally on this. I haven't decided whether I'm comfortable or uncomfortable with seeing my dog eat cat food, and my cats sometimes trying to eat dog food, although they find it a bit hard to chew up, especially the bones. And I don't know, but you know, this interspecies nutrition is a controversial area, really. It's a bit like interspecies marriage. There was a woman a few weeks ago who married, I think it was a monkey, I forget, there was something in the papers anyway. I only half read this stuff that's on the newspapers and on the internet, because, you know, eventually you're going to listen to some podcast somewhere and someone will explain what it's all about, because they've read it for you. I'm just too lazy to read nowadays. The other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that my cat, Pippi, was sitting on the windowsill yesterday, and he noticed the cat next door staring at him. So Pippi, as a young female kitten will do, Pippi just stared back and flashed her boobies at the other cat, and the other cat just sat there staring because it's a male cat. And I'm not going to tell you what happened next, because not really much happened. But it's a thought, isn't it? If those two cats have got together, our neighbour could have been what would she be? She'd be our, I suppose, mother-in-law by marriage. No, what's it? If your cat marries the cat next door, you're the cat next door's parent-in-law, and the cat next door is your daughter's parent-in-law. So that means it's your she's your mother-in-law one times added, as opposed to one times removed. Isn't that right? Yeah. Anyway, if you can tell me what relation we are to the woman next door, once our cats have sex with each other and produce a child, I'd be very interested. There must be a word for it somewhere. It's something in law or a cat cousin or something. But I'm sure there's someone out there who knows. So please give us a ring on the Stalkers forum and let us know. The other thing that I wanted to mention was the banking system in my local town. Now, they've recently opened a 24-hour automated teller machine, and this is the thing where you go down and you put in your number, and then a little camera above it takes a picture of your number, and then the next day someone goes and uses a copy of your bank card that they've made, and they steal all the money out of your account, and it works absolutely fantastic. But I was standing at the teller machine the other day, and I was just looking at the little glass window, the little glass screen that things usually appear up on, and the bank teller appeared up on the screen, and she had a cat on the desk beside her, which was us. I suppose it's okay. I mean, my father worked in the bank for several years. He was an assistant manager until the late 80s, and he was never allowed to bring his cat to work. I suppose times have changed. Not the cat. Not that there's any problem with having your cat in an office. I mean, it's not like it's going to cause any disruption. But it's just the inequity between the generations. I mean, my dad went through his whole 4 years of his career never being allowed to bring a cat to work, despite having had cats at various times of his life. And I'm our generation now, or the next one, whenever it happens, they're going to be allowed, apparently, to bring their cats to work. And that seems unfair, but because they'll... Because of inflation, at the very least, they'll be paid a good bit more than my dad, despite having this perk of bringing their cat to work. And I really think something needs to be done to make amends. I mean, if you discriminate between two workers in the same, who are working in the same century, like if I'm working today for a company and someone else is also working for that company today, well, you expect to be treated the same, and if you're doing the same job, you expect to be on the same pay, have the same perks and the same rules and things. But there's no equity between different times. Like, I mean, if my dad worked, say, 20 years ago and I'm working today, we could be doing exactly the same job, and one of us would be paid more than the other, and one of us would have different cash bringing to work rules, and that's just completely unfair. As far as I'm concerned, something needs to be done about it, and especially when time travel finally comes along, or when whoever's invented it decides to come here and share it with us, we're all going to be commuting to other times and possibly other dimensions. I don't know. I'm not sure how the other dimensions thing works. In my day, there were just three dimensions. You had height, width, and breadth, and then there was smell as well, but that was more of a sense than a dimension. But admittedly, there was loads of stuff on Star Trek where they'd have these holographic things that you go in, and it was like, but that was like a fake dimension. There was a pretend thing, and it was within a pretend television show, so it was like double pretend. Not only was the holodeck not real, it was on a television show, so it wasn't real at all. Obviously, it was fictional. It was in Gene Roddenberry's mind. But let's say now that we wanted to invent a holodeck. For those that don't know, a holodeck is the thing on Star Trek where you went in and it created. He used the holograms or whatever, some sort of technology to create an imaginary world where you could have a little holiday for the afternoon. So you could magic up a hologram of a beach and hang around there for a while and have fictional people there with you. But let's say we don't manage to ever invent a holodeck. What we could do is have a fictional holodeck, which we create on whatever other technology we have at the time. We could create a holodeck using the latest PlayStation, I'm sure, that you could, games have advanced so far that you could have everything. I have a PlayStation 2 and everything on that is 3D, so I presume everything on PlayStation 3 is going to be four-dimensional. So presumably you could have enough imagination and computer power in that to magic up an imaginary holodeck, and then you just go into the holodeck and you forget that it's not a real holodeck, you think it's a real holodeck, and you press all the imaginary buttons and you magic up your little holiday for the afternoon, and there you go, and it's all on your little 14 inch TV in your bedroom, and I think that's fucking great. And I don't even know what you call, I know what you call there, that's called the definitive article, and it's ironic because when you're describing the word there as the definitive article, you have to use the word there. So you could get yourself into a vicious circle where you'd have to go, it's the definitive article, the definitive article, the definitive article, the definitive article, and you're still saying there all the way through, and you have to replace each word there with the definitive article, but every time you say the definitive article, you have to replace the de with the definitive article. And really, you need some sort of a shorthand for this, some sort of a little one syllable word that you can use instead of all this. And I suppose, really, that's why they invented the word de, which is actually really clever.
I'm going
going to interrupt my vintage self, if you don't mind, because I've had enough of that old crap. While that's been playing, I've been refreshing Twitter every 2 seconds to follow the paperclip incident to its conclusion, and I think it's reached its conclusion now, because first, Rule posted a picture of his own two paperclips with tears coming out of them, and claiming that these were the children of the paperclips that Dadaist was going to murder. But then Dadaist came back and he said, "Newsflash, inspired by Rule, I looked in the bin again. It was inside a disposable coffee cup along with two empty cream pots. I've rescued the paperclip. Repeat, I've rescued the paperclip. It is regenerated Doctor Who style." Now, Dadaist, that's a load of crap. You never murdered the paperclip in the first place. You're just an attention seeker. You went and took a photograph of a paperclip, tried to make out that you were a murderer. Well, you weren't really trying to make out you were a murderer. You were just trying to make out that you were mentally ill by trying to sound like you thought you were murdering a piece of stationery, which you know damn well you weren't. So basically, everyone who listens to Into Your Head or interacts with those of us who make Into Your Head is a complete lunatic. So as far as I'm concerned, you deserve what you get, and well, that's basically it. There's no point going on with today's show. I just wanted to update you on what goes on offline. I wanted to keep you in touch with my online life outside of this podcast, because stuff happens in between podcasts. I know you think that when there's 3 days between show 60 and show 61, I just go asleep for 3 days. I don't. I interact with people online. We have conversations about paper clips and all sorts of things. And basically, I find out what the ordinary general public is like. It's like when President Bush goes out and interacts with people in the public and shakes their hands. I'm interacting with my public on Twitter. I'm going around and shaking hands with everybody, and they're shaking hands with me as well, because they've all got podcasts as well that they're trying to promote. So they all have podcasts, various ones. You can see them in the links page on my website, intoyourhead.com, if you want to know. Basically, everyone on Twitter has a podcast, and they're all going around shaking hands like George Bush, but usually looking more intelligent. It's just on this occasion there is an unfortunate incident involving the pretend murder of a paperclip, the very, very non-credible pretend murder of a paperclip, and it just everyone started looking bad. So let's just put this incident behind us for now, and we'll move on, and goodbye.